Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome into Gwynn and Chris. 4 o'clock on the Dow, 7 o'clock here in Cincinnati. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spirocuisine.com. All right, NFL, while I've had my head plugged in the baseball hole, I did not know that some of this news had broke about the NFL until earlier today. And it seems like this news broke after the fact, because it's already kind of been litigated at this point. The NFL would go on to win the case. But it was interesting that it only proved what we have been talking and thinking to ourselves for quite some time, that there is some form of collusion happening. Now, it doesn't mean enough to be convicted in the court of law, of business law, and how we conduct things in the United States. But there's definitely some funny business going on, and this was only proof of that, gentlemen.
Well, the big question that is being asked is, you're right, Tony, nobody's even asking or questioning whether or not there is or has been collusion between the owners in the National Football League. Yesterday, Scraby read a conversation between Michael Bidwell, dumb owner of the Cardinals, and Dino.
Well, by the way, we've read plenty of reports about, in terms of his own employees and how they feel about how he conducts himself.
Correct. And then his best buddy, apparently, Dino Spanos, who the well-loved owner of the Chargers.
Right.
So they went back and forth and basically talked about, you know, thanking each other for, you know, being careful in contracts.
Here's what it
was. Dean Spanos basically said, thank you for not guaranteeing too much money to Kyler Murray, because that will make it easier for me to sign Justin Herbert.
Yeah, here's the text messages from Dean to Bidwell. Congratulations on signing Murray. Bidwell, thanks, Dino. These quarterback deals are expensive, but we limited the fully guaranteed money and have some pretty good language. Thankfully, we have a quarterback that's worth paying. Dean says, your deal helps us for our next quarterback. And then Bidwell says, I think many teams will be happy with it once they have a chance to review. Cleveland really screwed things up, but I was resolved to keep the guaranteed money relatively low. That's their text conversation that was released.
All right. So that's that. So we know that the collusion is there. And now everybody, if they hadn't thought about it already, now everyone else can know. But the big question that's being asked by these guys who broke this story, and I think it's a fair question, Pablo Torre and Mike Florio, is that the collusion stuff was ruled upon, apparently, and it was all having to do with contracts being guaranteed and discussed during the March 2022 annual owners meeting.
Yes.
So the fact of the matter is, 3 years have gone by, 3 years plus have gone by since then, and no one has been made aware of it at all until Pablo Torre and his people exposed this to everybody. So the question goes back to, once again, why would... I can see why the owners kept this secret. They don't want everybody to know, you know, the dirt going on in their own house. But why did the Players Association keep it quiet, not say anything to anybody. They could have screamed from the mountaintops.
They probably could
have
because
know.
Of the legal stuff happening. Yeah.
Well, probably. Okay, you're giving them the... Yeah, all right. I don't see that being an answer, honestly.
I think once you're...
And that's what this article says, is they should have been shouting it from the rooftops. So, anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Maybe they should have been shouting it from the rooftops when it was happening.
Okay.
I think it's clear that NFLPA is not all pulling the rope in the same direction.
Fair enough.
Right, because when the collective bargaining agreement came up, how many guys ended up not even like signing it and like being a part of it?
Yeah,
it was
like
a
not
lot.
Voting for it.
It was a lot. And so, you know, a PA can only be as good as the members that are in it and that are willing to participate. And it's hard when, and this is the tough part. Now, this is starting to happen in baseball too, right? Is that you have the upper echelon of guys who really are immune from a lot of it because of how much money they're making. And then you got the rest of everybody else, the kind of work and file cap type of cats. And that is, I don't want to say it's the goal, but that is what is happening, right? Is they have it set up now where the top 2% are going to get theirs and then they crunch the middle. And those are the guys who end up getting jobbed in the end. But that is the majority of your league. And so when you start getting into the PA side of things, like, what does that look like? You got the top 2-3% that feel like, hey, everything's good on our end. And if they're not willing to give a little bit for the rest of the main group, that's when it gets tricky.
I would think the upper 2 or 3% would be the ones most interested in all of this because it's really affecting their contracts. The rank and file guys are a lot easier to do contracts with. They all pretty much get similar stuff.
Yeah, no, but that's not true though. I think it does affect their contracts, but at the end of the day, they're making enough money where it doesn't have a major impact on them. Whereas the middle class of the everything, that's the cats that are getting cut out. And don't have the same type of guarantees in their deal. And so, you know, that's where baseball, I think, has always done a better job is that the upper percentage of the league always looked out for what is happening in the middle. And so, you know, they were willing to sacrifice some things on their end so that it could be bigger. It could be a better for everybody. And that's that's the thing that you look at the NFL often is that, you know, they've had guys who were willing to cross when they were on strike, guys that were actually a part of the league. That weakens the camaraderie and togetherness that you need in order to really take on ownership that have all of the means to make it work. If you don't have that piece of it, they can keep you divided the whole time.
And the other side of that, NFL owners have always actually been together.
Always.
Don't forget that all came together in the 60s to determine that they would share revenue from television.
That's one of the
things that has made the NFL so much more powerful.
I was getting ready to say that's the other thing that the NFL that's different, right, is the NFL owners seem to be all on accord.
Yeah.
And they've been that way forever. I mean, even from that standpoint, like in terms of being an owner in the NFL, I think that's probably why it's one of the hardest leagues to get involved in because – you get one owner that's not in the same mind and that is like, oh, I think guarantees would be great. That would destroy everything that they have built. Whereas in baseball, you always get an owner in there that's like, nah, I'm gonna do it my way. And you just gonna have to deal with it, right? And so, yeah, I think that's the other thing that the NFL has going for in terms of owner side is that those owners, they don't go against one another.
One thing that concerns me or that maybe hasn't been, I don't know if I saw it in the article or not, but are the NFL owners even smart for colluding amongst themselves under the risk of being caught?
No.
Well, the reason I say that is because nothing can ruin the NFL, right? They're so powerful. And each of these owners is making billions and billions, I imagine.
I think that
so. Why would they risk a couple of guaranteed contracts to maybe, you know, get themselves in a situation where some court did rule against them and weakened their position considerably.
You mean in terms of talking to each other about it?
Yeah. Why even do it in the first place? Why are they? What are they? I mean, they're basically, it sounds like they're pinching pennies compared to the dollars that they have.
In some ways, arrogance plays a part into why you are even having a conversation about it in the first place.
Like, yeah.
In some ways, I guess you got to make sure that everybody's on the same page every once in a while. It's like, hey, man, thanks for keeping those dollars down. That's going to make it easier on me. Wink, wink.
Wink, right?
Thanks, Dino.
Thanks, Dino, right?
Well, maybe they should just kick the Cleveland guy out of the league. I mean, because he's the one guy that apparently was willing to go another route that they didn't like.
Yeah.
So one of the things I found very interesting.
The last time they let another owner in that they don't
check him out.
I thought this was really interesting because Russell Wilson was he had to testify, which I think was what we were looking for earlier, and not depose but testify. But he said when he was in college.
No, I think the owners were deposed because they had to.
Yes. But Wilson testified that when he was being traded from the Broncos or Seahawks to the Broncos, he requested from the Broncos a 7-year fully guaranteed contract worth around $50 million a year while the team was working on that trade. Wilson testified that the team didn't blink when told his initial request during trade talks, and they kept saying, we'll do whatever it takes. However, after he was traded and waived his no trade clause to go to the Broncos, Denver started getting cold feet on giving the quarterback a fully guaranteed deal.
Someone started talking like, hey, yeah, man, we might be thinking about this guaranteed deal with Wilson. They're like, what?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Exactly. And then they're like, oh, you know what? We know we kind of promised you.
If you do that, we'll do this. That's, you know, one of those type of
yes,
deals.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so they backed out. All right. Well, this is going to be a developing story. We'll see if it's continuing developing.
I'm just proud of Pablo S. Torre, the guy who wrecked the Belichick story and embarrassed himself, was able to bounce back strongly on this one. Good for you, Pablo.
You miss 100% of these jumpers you don't take. You took the jumper, it didn't work the first time, took another one, netted it. All right, let's get to break. When we come back.
We got our soccer interview.
Yeah,
talk about the big win last night.
Or Zivin?
We're going to talk. Or I'm going to ask him before we go.
We have a guy on his name. I think coming up next, Jeff Bezos, isn't it?
Oh, no. I've already been criticized that I should know how to pronounce his name. But yes, we're going to have Apple TV's MLS analyst on with us.
All right. Here's some traffic. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Hi, welcome back. 419 is the time. Chris Settle, Tony Gwynn Jr. and Cincy. Matt Scraby is here. Jake Zibin is here. MLS play-by-play. What a night last night for SDL. They go on the road, take down first-place Vancouver in the kind of soccer match that I can appreciate, Scraby. 8 goals were put up on the board.
That's pretty good.
I love it. 5-3 SDFC. Alaski, the young man from San Diego, scores 4 goals. And puts SDFC into first place in the Western Conference. Jake Zivin, play-by-play voice, MLS. Hi, Jake. How are you, man? We're doing pretty well here, as you might imagine.
I imagine. Absolutely. I'm doing well. Really fun game last night in Vancouver. And, man, what a show that San Diego put on. Big statement from San Diego FC.
Jake, I want to, before we get into SDFC, I want to kind of go talk a little bit about your journey. I mean, you kind of started like a lot of people. You started from the bottom in terms of your broadcasting career. You started an entry-level employee at ESPN. You are now doing play-by-play broadcasting. I mean, What advice would you give to people who want to follow your same type of path?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, it's so different now, right? I mean, I graduated college in 2007. After doing that for ESPN, running the bug on the screen and games, I went to Butte, Montana for my first job out of college, the NBC station in Butte, Montana. But you don't have to do that anymore, right? I mean, now you can create a YouTube channel or a TikTok and kind of get your reps and become a commentator or just, you know, like a sports personality. You couldn't do it back then. That didn't exist. But number one advice, just get as many reps as you can. Get in front of a microphone or a camera in whatever way it is. Find your voice. Get good at that, at being on camera or being in front of a microphone.
And I think stick-to-itiveness, huh, Jake? I mean, because all of us have been knocked down about a dozen times on the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And be willing to do anything. Again, Butte, Montana, I knew nothing about it. I'm from Chicago. Yeah, I'll take the job. First job offered to me out of college. Was so excited. And, man, it worked out well.
Yeah, our producer here, Scraby, is doing much of that. He's, you know, putting up with us on a daily basis just so he can further his career. So
there you go.
We're wishing him the best.
Well done, Scraby.
Yes. Jake, 5'3", first of all. Great. You know, this is what we love. To people that are newer to soccer want to see goals like this. But SDFC's been doing this all year, right? They've been playing this fun, attacking, open style. It's been great for them. It's been great for our new fans here in San Diego. And, you know, it's creating a lot of excitement and now buzz because I think teams are looking at SDFC going, man, look at this. This is working. Maybe we should try a little more of it.
Absolutely, right? I mean, first of all, 5-3, of course. It's a thrilling game. It's an exciting game. There were four goals scored within 9 minutes in the first half, and then Ilofsky scored right after halftime. So five goals total from both teams in like 12 minutes of gameplay. Mm. It was really fun. And you hit the nail on the head with San Diego FC. They have had, from the moment that they stepped on the field against the Los Angeles Galaxy in the season opener, who were the defending MLS Cup champs, they had a distinct style, an idea, an identity. They were confident in that identity. It's attractive. It's bold. They're confident. They play out of the back. They play through pressure, which is not easy to do. It's a risk. They're confident in taking those risks. And, man, they're a great team. And, you know, we didn't know when the season started and they started winning, could they sustain this throughout the year? It's a long season. They're going to have to go into their depth at some point because guys are going to get injured. Guys are going to go away on international duty. There's going to be a time when they're going to lose a few games in a row, which happened a couple months ago. They lost 3 in a row. They've won 7 of 9 since. They've passed every test so far. They're deservedly in first place in the Western Conference. It's just a remarkable job that's been done so far by Mikey Varas, by Tyler Heaps, by all the players, everybody in that organization.
Jake, obviously, you know, in order to have this kind of success, you have to have talent. But specifically in the sport of soccer, it seems like the head coach, the style of play that they instituted is important. You talked about the way SDFC plays out of the back. They play through pressure. What is it about what Mikey Varas has done that has helped this team get to the point where we're talking about them as one of the top teams in the league right now?
Yeah, I think there's two things a manager can do and has to do to get a team to play that style. One is you're kind of giving them ideas of how to deal with this pressure, right? So if the pressure comes from here, this is what we want to do. It's not just one player. It's got to be the whole team kind of moving into positions so that they can, you know, play 1, 2, 3 passes and get out of that pressure. And so it's getting those ideas in the players' minds. It's training those ideas so that they can deal with everything that's going to come at them. And then it's instilling the confidence to pull it off because it isn't easy. I mean, even the best teams in the world try to play out of the back and they give up easy goals. It happened today in the Club World Cup, Manchester City, Pep Guardiola. They are the best at doing this. They have the best players in the world. They always play out of the back and they're so good at it. And their goalkeeper, Ederson, probably the best goalkeeper in the world with the ball at his feet or in the conversation, gives the ball right to the opponents who score a goal. It happens at the highest level. You've got to be really, really good to pull it off, and you've got to be confident to pull it off because if you hesitate, if you're, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here, you're done in that moment of hesitation, and the other team's going to take the ball away and score an easy goal. So, man, to get players who maybe hadn't played in that system, to be at the level that they're at, to play through that pressure, it's impressive. And yeah, it's both mental, and then it's also kind of the physical and kind of the training, the ideas and the tactics of it.
SDFC is in first place. Almost, you know, look, first season, we could not have imagined or asked for anything more. They got there with a big 5-3 win last night in Vancouver. Jake Zivin is with us, MLS play-by-play. We need to be fair here, I think, Jake, because we are at that point of the season where guys are on loan all over the world, different places, playing in different events. Vancouver was not 100% at full strength on its roster last night, from what I gather. So I'm sure SDFC will take this all with a grain of salt. You know, they went there, they beat them, but still much work to do ahead.
Yeah, look, no doubt. Vancouver missing players, missing really good players through injury, through international duty. So was San Diego FC. They were without 9 players through injury and international duty entering that game, including 5 guys that probably at the beginning of the season would have projected to be starters, including the face of the franchise, Irving Chucky Lozano. For them to be able to do this without Chucky, I think would have shocked everybody before the season. I think every pundit, even ones that were high on San Diego and that saw what others didn't in the build of this roster, still would have said it's going to be tough for them if Chucky isn't playing at a superstar level. But they've shown that he's great when he's there. It's awesome. But they don't need it. They can also play well without Chucky Lozano. They're without Luca Della Torre, Anibal Godoy, 2 incredibly important players in the midfield, away at the Gold Cup. Marcus Ingvartsen, who was supposed to be the starting striker, he's hurt again. Now they have Milan Ilaski, so it doesn't matter, who is looking like maybe the best striker in the league. It's remarkable. But they're down a lot of players. In the Patty McNair, starting center back for the first, 17, 18 games. Andres Reyes hasn't even played and played 1 game and was supposed to be a starting center back on this team. So Vancouver has that and they can say that. And it might look different if they meet in the Western Conference final in November. But San Diego will say the same thing. We weren't at full strength either and we beat them. So, yeah, I think, of course, everything's a grain of salt. It's 1 game. But that they should not take away from the accomplishment last night of what San Diego did.
Yeah, the SDFC, by the way, Jake Zivin joins us here play-by-play for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. And Jake, they were able to get 3 guys into this all-star team that they're having. Talk a little bit about it. I'm unfamiliar with it. Is that considered a lot from one team getting 3 guys on an all-star team? Is that a big deal?
It is, yes. So there's 26 players announced. 12 were voted in by fans. 12 were picked by the head coach of the MLS All-Star team, who is Nico Estevez, who is Austin FC's head coach. The game is being played in Austin, so that's tradition. The host city, their coach, coaches the game. And then 2 were commissioner's picks. The 3 of the 26 are San Diego FC players. There's 30 teams in the league. Not every team can have an All-Star. There's only 26 and there's 30 teams. And then they have 3. The second most of any team, Vancouver, has 4, the team they played last night, who deserve it as well. I mean, they had the best first half of the season in the league, and they deserve all 4 of their picks. But 3 is an incredible accomplishment for an expansion team, and they all are so deserving. I mean, to me, Anders Dreyer, he's leading the league in goal contributions. He's, the most important player on San Diego and the primary reason why they're as good as they are, at least from attacking perspective. But I'm really happy that Jeppe Tverskov got picked, because I think he's the most underrated player on this team. He plays a position where he's not going to score a lot of goals. He's not going to have a lot of assists, but he makes it all work in the midfield. He makes everything they want to do with the ball work. Ilofsky's 4th goal was, to me, like just the perfect example of San Diego. Tverskov has the ball almost in San Diego's defensive penalty area, and in soccer, the term would be split lines. He plays the ball through about 5 different Vancouver players on the ground to Dreyer, who can then turn and have a ton of space. And 4 seconds later, it's a goal. I mean, so Tverskov's ball to Dreyer was incredible. Dreyer's ball to Ilofsky was incredible. And then the easy part is the actual goal scoring from Milan Ilofsky. So, yeah, no doubt impressive to have 3 All-Stars and all 3 well-deserved. Chucky Lozano, of course, is the 3rd. He was picked by MLS Commissioner Don Garber.
I think I know the answer to this, but quickly, like, can we honestly win this thing in the end?
Sure. Sure, right? I mean, you know, when San Diego started off hot, and we called four of their first six games, and they were playing great, and they were winning games, and so I did a lot of radio interviews and local news hits in San Diego for the first month and a half of the season, and was asked the same question, is this for real? Can they sustain? And I said, I don't know that they're MLS Cup contenders, but I think they've proven they're going to be at least a solid playoff team in the West. Well, now we're already into the second half of the season. They're in first place. They've won 7 of 9. My tune has gone even more positive to why not?
Yeah.
In a playoff situation, anything can happen. They are certainly a contender to win the Western Conference, to be a top seed in the West in the playoffs, possibly get home field advantage. The East is better than the West. I think there's no doubt about that. So if San Diego were to win the West and make it to MLS Cup, they'd come up against a really, really good team. But because the West, I think, is really up for grabs, they're going to stay, I think, in the top few of the West, which is going to be really advantageous heading into the playoffs. So sure, why not? I wouldn't put them as the top contenders, the favorite right now, but they've got to be in the conversation. And I don't expect them to leave that conversation as the season goes on.
Jake, you are invited to the parade in November.
All right.
Thanks so much.
I'll be there.
Come on.
San Diego, I live in Portland, Oregon. So San Diego in December, that sounds great to me. I'm coming. I'll accept the invitation.
Hey, appreciate you coming on, Jake, and I know everybody here does too. We'll see you down the road. Thanks again for the time.
Great to talk to you both. Cheers.
All right. Jake Zivin from the MLS Play-by-Play. SDFC. I mean, I don't know that everybody's aware of what was going on last night, you know, late night game, Apple TV, you got to pay extra money, the whole thing. But we wake up this morning, we're on top in the MLS. More Gwynn and Chris, I believe a big five.
Oh, yeah.
Is what we do next.
7:39 here in Cincinnati, 4:39 there in San Diego. Last segment before you get a dose of the Roundtable, brought to you by Roundtable.
Chris, how many pieces of or how many wings did you eat today?
20.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
I love wings, man.
Well, there's five different flavors. I ate like four of each flavor.
I think the wings are very underrated.
20 is not very many, Scraby. That's honestly 20 bites. That's all it really is.
I was talking.
Are these boneless?
No. Got to eat around the bones.
Yes. I was talking to Adam earlier, and Adam loves wings, and he was eating them while we were talking, and how much I hate wings, and I hate when people are eating wings. And so I was like, kind of like, oh, gosh, I'm just going to look towards the refrigerator while you're talking, and you're chomping on those wings.
Why do you just not ever watch anyone eat? You don't like crackers eating. You don't like
wings. Well, the crackers are because of the smell.
Your list of things you don't like is way too long.
It really is.
You need to shorten that list.
Why do you think I drank so long, Chris?
Goodness. I mean, Jess, you bring anything up. Oh, I hate that.
Wings has been something for my entire life.
I don't
know why
you don't like wings. I think it makes you a little bit of a weirdo that you don't like wings.
I've been told that before.
I mean, it's kind of like it's like a man tradition.
I was just about to say.
I'm just saying you don't like wings at all. You like boneless, don't you?
I love boneless.
Yeah,
but those aren't really wings.
It's not a wing.
Those are just small pieces of meat.
It's cut up chicken fingers. Is what it is.
I had cut up chicken. I had this conversation on literally Tuesday or Monday with someone about how boneless wings are called boneless wings because it's a marketing gimmick to make you still want wings.
Right, and it's worked for you, apparently.
Oh, it's worked for a lot of people. Boneless wings are there. But if it was boneless wings on the menu and they brought me chicken strips, I would be upset because I did not order chicken strips.
You wouldn't know. They just cut them up and you don't know. That's and they douse it with juice or with sauce. You don't know. It's cut up chicken fingers, man.
All right. Are we ready for the big five?
Let's get to the big five, yes.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Nate on the chat says that boneless wings are baby chicken fingers.
They are baby chicken fingers, man.
I never said that they weren't. But
I'm just saying, why'd you just order chicken fingers? You can just order
Because chicken fingers are long.
Just cut them up. And, you want somebody to cut your chicken up
for
you,
I hate cutting stuff up, Tony.
She's like a child.
Should I even admit this?
Cut my chicken fingers up, Mom.
Here we go.
Should I even admit this? When I was growing up and my mom would make like an actual chicken or something with the bones in it, she knew I wouldn't eat, so she would delicately slice me pieces off of the chicken so that I would eat them. I have a great mom.
You do.
Yeah, because later on in life, my mom's like, eat it or don't eat it. I don't care.
She got tired of slicing
off pieces. All right.
Number five.
First, tune into the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt tomorrow at 9 a.m. on Ben and Woods. The Manager's Report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. All right, number five. Luis Arraez has been somewhat of a conundrum this year, but yesterday he had a three-hit game, and that's good enough to have an MLB-leading 12th three-hit game, which is kind of shocking to me. And on top of that, Arraez extended too shy of his career high set last season for three-hit games. Arraez has now raised his batting average 15 points to .288 during the streak. That is still 25 points lower than his previous career low, 74 games into a season, but he is on his way back up. Tony, is Luis Arraez starting to round into form?
Looks like it. Looks like he's heating up, as they used to say on NBA Jam.
He's on fire.
Seems like he's starting to get hot, and I think we've all been kind of waiting on it for a while. You know, it's kind of the standard he set. We're looking at him, we're hitting .275, and it's like, eh, what's going on, man? You got to get your life together here. And now he's starting to get back to the Luis Arraez we saw, you know, last year. And it'll be interesting to see how this whole lineup thing continues to evolve. Hitting the leadoff spot for the first time wasn't super fruitful. We only scored one run, but he got to be the one to drive the run in, hitting in that one spot. So, I think he is starting to heat up.
Chris, is Luis Arraez heating up?
Well, I'm going to just go with the old standby when it comes to guys hitting well. Because I don't know if it 100% applies to Arraez because he's just a different cat. But when I see him hitting fly ball outs to right field, I feel like that's not Luis Arraez. But what I saw yesterday was three singles to left field. That, to me, is Luis Arraez. And I feel like Tony would tell me he's letting the ball travel a little further. And I think that that's allowing him to hit a little more consistently. Spoken like a person who really, truly isn't a hitting coach, but yes, I hope he is.
All right.
Number four.
MLB.com put out a list of the top hitters in baseball right now, and the Big Dumper, which is a great nickname, Cal Raleigh is number one in this week's edition. Then it goes Aaron Judge it's at number two. Number three is Ohtani. Number four is Soto. And number five is Ketel Marte. So, Chris, is Cal Raleigh the best hitter in baseball right now?
No. He's the hottest hitter at the moment, but I don't know. Does anybody fear Cal Raleigh the way they do somebody like Ohtani or even Manny Machado?
They should fear Cal Raleigh.
I imagine they're pitching carefully to him. He is, he's got to do it a little longer. Aaron Judge is, I think, quite a bit more feared. That's not to take away from Cal Raleigh's doing, as we've talked about already. He's gone his pace. He's got a chance to be the all-time home run champ for switch hitters, and he also has a chance to be the all-time home run single season champ for a catcher. So both things would be very impressive if he can do it in the second half.
Dude has an OPS plus this year. I just looked. 198.
He's phenomenally good, but he's not the best hitter in baseball. No.
All right, Tony, is Cal Raleigh the best hitter in baseball right now?
No. I don't know. I think the question should be, is he the hottest hitter in baseball?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the list was top hitters in baseball. So.
Well, yeah. No, he's not the top hitter in baseball. And I think part of the way you know that is because they're still pitching to him. Like, he's not the top hitter in baseball, and he's continuing to beat him over the head right now. He's certainly, I've always liked Kyle Raleigh. From the first time he got to the big leagues, you could just tell he had an understanding of what he was doing. And at the catching position, he's good defensively as well. So I like him a lot. I don't think he's the best. Like, it's hard for me to say, oh, yeah, Kyle Raleigh, yeah, best hitter in baseball. I'm sorry. Like, I can't put him ahead of Judge. I can't put him ahead of Ohtani. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of other guys that I'm just not seeing at the top of him. I can't even put Kyle ahead of, I'm not putting him ahead of Manny.
That's what I said.
So, like, I mean, yeah, no, he's not the best hitter in baseball. He's the hottest, though.
All right. Number three. The Bengals of Cincinnati, where you are, Tony, in Hamilton County, have agreed to principal terms for a new lease that keeps the team in Cincinnati playing games at Paycor Stadium through June of 2036, with 10 additional option years that could extend the lease through June of 2046. They made a post today saying, this is a significant day for the Bengals in Hamilton County as we secure the team's future in Cincinnati. This new deal ensures Paycor Stadium remains an excellent venue and a focal point for Cincinnati's riverfront. We are proud to call Paycor Stadium our home and to keep our future here in Cincinnati, where it belongs. My question to you guys is...
What's your question?
Because there was a little bit of a rumbling from the ownership of, like, maybe we should move because we're not going to have a place to play. Do the Bengals belong in Cincinnati, Tony?
Yes, they belong in Cincinnati. And that was just, you know, it was just lip service, just to get some movement, probably. Maybe we shouldn't be here. We should go elsewhere where they'll build us a new stadium. Psych! Ain't nobody going to build you a new stadium right now. I'm not going to build you a new stadium. And so, yeah, no, they belong where they are.
Chris?
Where else are they going to go? Where are you suggesting?
Let's see. What city would... San Diego? Come on out here. We'll have some Bengals on her helmet.
And of course,
we don't
have
a stadium.
Yeah, that's what it's not even a discussion point.
You know what's funny? You bring up Snapdragon. We drove Cincinnati Stadium as we went to the hotel.
It's massive.
That thing, it like dwarfs Snapdragon.
It's massive.
It's massive. Like, it's not even, we don't have a stadium.
Chris just shook his head at me.
I live right next to Snapdragon Stadium. I don't have a problem with our Snapdragon Stadium.
I don't either.
But I do have a problem with the fact that it represents the fact we don't have something bigger. So that's what will always bother me. I will just say one thing about Cincinnati. This is good for them that they got the extended lease. But you're a Cincinnati guy. Scraby originally.
Yes. I've been to
the city, if I'm not mistaken, the city pretty much mortgaged its entire financial future forevermore to allow this stadium to be built. And I know they're still paying a heavy price for that decision.
Yes.
So the Bengals and Cincinnati are, I think, what anti-stadium people in San Diego should refer to, because that's one thing that is a cautionary tale. The city of Cincinnati's really paid the price for
this. They have, but they have also completely redone their entire waterfront, their downtown. Yeah. Their downtown was a very dangerous place in the early 2000s, and they have the Red Stadium down the street from the Bengal Stadium right there on the river.
Yeah. How it should be done.
There are other things that go along with that. That's true.
And they have a lot more... fun things to do in Cincinnati.
I know when we were here a couple years ago, I think it was a couple years ago, Taylor Swift was playing.
Oh, yes.
I mean, this whole city was jumping.
Didn't they have to move the Reds game or something? Because
They moved it up. They moved it up earlier because she was playing in the football stadium. So, yeah, I mean, they've been able to get some good things out of it, too.
Well, there's no... Oh, look, hey, you know I'm in favor of what they did.
But Chris is right, though. They did. They definitely... I remember that. It was a big deal that they kind of put it all on the line to get that stadium built.
All right, we got Kyle Hurry. But Team Canada has pulled off their first major upset in the quest to qualify for the flag football at the 2028 LA Olympics. ESPN analyst Pat McAfee openly called out the United States men's flag football team on his maps. He said, "We can't be losing to Canada. This can't be happening."
Hold up. Wait, we lost to Canada?
Yeah, 25-21.
No, that's not good for my man who wants to keep the job.
Yeah, well, maybe we should bring Patrick Mahomes in then.
The Canadian senior men's national team did go 4-0 in this whole tournament. But, yeah, anyway. Who's up now? Tony, we'll just say you. Is it a failure for the United States to get anything but a gold medal in the 2028 Olympics?
Yeah, you know that's how we
that's
roll.
That's how we do
that's
things here.
That's how we roll. I'm just saying.
Dream Team gets a bronze and we hate them.
The better story is that my man's who was like, we want an opportunity. Now we're covering this thing now. And if y'all losing to Canada or anybody for that matter, it's only going to open the door for this conversation that you don't want to happen, which is that the NFL players may very well be coming.
Oh, what if they lose to Team Canada?
Then
Joe
he's got
Burrow
his argument
and Justin
back.
Jefferson.
Then he's got his argument back.
Chris?
Yes.
Failure?
But well, we're all or nothing in any sport, but yes, this one for sure.
But this is our sport, Chris. This is America.
Uh-huh.
Number one.
All right, I noticed something a while ago, but I never really thought about it until the other day, and this is not really that important. After an inning ends in baseball, let's say it's a ground up to first. The first baseman gets the out, throws the ball towards the mound, and then someone immediately throws the first baseman a ball to use to warm up the next time they go out for defense.
This is actually kind of funny.
My question is, I have two thoughts on this. First, why didn't they just keep the ball that instead of throwing it back to the mound? And second, who is the person that's throwing them the ball every time?
Oh, this is a good question, Scravy. This actually means you're paying attention.
I'm definitely paying attention.
All right, so it used to be that the last out was made, and whoever had the ball would kind of just leave it on the mound. And then at some point, it changed where the last out's made, first baseman keeps it. He usually gives it to a fan. And then whoever the coach is, it's usually an infield coach, outfield coach, has a ball ready, and he throws it to him.
Fires it to him.
Yeah.
I just always found that interesting. Like, why they're not going to use the ball that they threw back to the mound.
Hey, until I got to go to the field with my dad when I was nine, I wondered the same thing. Like, yo, who's throwing the ball?
Just a pitching machine.
Why did he just keep in the other one? And then I found out, oh, well, I want to give this one to the fan, and then I get this one.
That's nice. Chris, anything on this?
Nothing on that, but I will share a question my friend Greg had yesterday.
15 seconds.
Why did they change the bases three different times during the game? Are they actually that worn?
During night games, they get moist, and then people slip on them, and so they're trying to keep them dryness, boom, boom, boom.
All right, we
I don't know
go.
About the day games.
There you go, Greg.
Bye.